Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You may be seated. It's remarkable just how dramatically the lives of the apostles changed over the course of those years they followed Jesus. These men were ordinary men, men like fishermen and tax collectors, and yet from their tax booths and boats, the Lord Jesus called them to come, to follow him, to become fishers of men. And follow him they did. And as they followed, they heard him preach and teach with authority, an authority with which no other man had ever spoken before. To them, not to others, but to them, it was given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And with their eyes, consider all the sights that they saw. They saw the winds and the sea be still at his command. They were with him as he cast out demons and cleansed lepers, as he opened the eyes and the ears of the blind and the deaf, as he even raised the dead. They ate and drank with him bread that he miraculously multiplied and wine that he had transformed from plain water. Blessed were the eyes that saw what these men saw, sights that many prophets and kings desired to see and yet did not see. But despite all that the apostles had seen and heard as they followed Jesus, in his hour of trial, suffering, and death, they fled from him. They were afraid. They were all scattered, each to his own home. They left Jesus alone. But Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And upon his resurrection, he appeared to the 11 as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them. He rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen, let alone believed all that the prophets had written about the Son of Man, or for that matter, believed the words of Jesus himself, who told them on more than one occasion that it was necessary for the Son of Man to be crucified and rise again. Hands and feet inside. And then he continued to present himself alive to these men after his suffering by many proofs for 40 days. Speaking to them about the kingdom of God. But after 40 days, it was very clear to those men that the time they had with Jesus was drawing to a close. And it soon became obvious to the 11 that Jesus was about to depart from them in such a way that they would see him no longer. And as they drew near to Jesus' departure, it would only be natural for them to wonder, what's next? What comes for us after our Lord is taken from our sight? Now, surely they couldn't go back to the tax booths and fishing boats. But what would become of them? What kind of persecutions, imprisonments, exiles, martyrdoms would they face? Or perhaps, would they face glories and honors and successes? Would the kingdom at last be restored to Israel? But Jesus wouldn't tell them. It wasn't for them to know. It was not for them to know the times and seasons that the Father had fixed by his own authority. Well, what about you tonight? You too have witnessed the Lord's work yourselves. You've heard the word of the Lord. You've been blessed by his promise of salvation. You've received the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism, that life-giving water rich in grace. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good in the sacrament of the altar, his very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You have been changed. You have been renewed. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, not what you once were, not living according to your former manner of life. And yet, like the apostles, you do not see Jesus standing here before you in his flesh and blood. You have not witnessed Jesus in his body perform miracles. And so, it's natural to wonder, what's next for me? What does tomorrow hold for me? Questions of earthly concerns? Will the next paycheck come in before the bills are due? Will I still have the same job next year? Maybe no job, maybe something worse, maybe something better. Maybe your thoughts and concerns are not for yourself at all, but for those you love. What about my parents? How much longer will God grant them on earth? What kind of nation and world am I leaving behind for my kids? Will my kids still attend church when they leave home? Will there even be a church for my kids to attend? Will there be men to serve them and to serve the church as pastors? These and countless, infinitely more questions are running through everyone's heads these days. What about you? What do you wonder in regard to the future? What do you want to know about the days ahead? Stop wondering. Because just like it wasn't for the apostles, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's for Jesus to know. He's the Son of God. He's been taken up into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, not a place, but a position of complete authority. He has all power. He fills all things. He rules and governs all creation. He is exalted over everything and exercises all power and authority in heaven and on earth. Don't try to take that from Jesus. And certainly don't doubt or disbelieve his perfect wisdom, power, and authority. He alone rightly rules all things, including tomorrow. Don't excuse your sinful worry about what is to come. In the end, it's sin, a denial of the divine authority of Jesus. But repent, for as true God, it is for Christ to know all things. It is not for you to know. So if you're not to know such things, what are you to know? The Apostle Paul would say, nothing. Nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to know the times and seasons that he has fixed by his own authority. But for you, you are to know Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself up for you. You are to know the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which is the power that the apostles received, the power that you receive, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who teaches all things and brings to your remembrance what Jesus has said. Again, the Apostle Paul is right. Know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But if you know Christ, then what else do you need to know? For in Christ and him crucified, you have the one thing needful. In fact, in the Large Catechism, Martin Luther goes so far as to say that if you know Christ crucified, as taught in the Creed, you know God fully. For in Christ crucified, there is everything that you must know about God. That he is love. That he has saved you by his grace alone, apart from works. That he forgives you all your sins, every last one. That death has no dominion over you. That God is and always shall be the giver of every good and perfect gift. And not just those gifts pertaining to your soul and the life of the world to come, but even those gifts that you need here in your body right now. For again, as the Apostle Paul writes elsewhere, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? There's much that is known from knowing nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And of course, on this day, to know Jesus Christ crucified is to know that his ascension is for you and indeed shall be yours. For Christ Jesus is your brother according to his human nature. And thus in his ascension, that humanity, your humanity, has been elevated and glorified. Jesus was taken up into heaven in his human body. He didn't leave his flesh and blood behind on earth. He sat down at the right hand of the Father in that flesh and blood. And your brother, according to the flesh, lives and reigns to all eternity. And as we will hear in the proper preface a little bit later on tonight, Jesus was taken up into heaven in order that he might make us partakers of his divine life. For you see, someday Jesus, who was taken up into heaven, will come in the same way as the apostles saw him go into heaven. And then it shall truly be fulfilled. We will fully and completely partake of his divine life, rising in our human bodies made glorious, ascending with all believers to be with Christ in the clouds, always being with the Lord. Yes, to know Jesus Christ, to know him crucified, is to know that your ascension day is coming. And you come to know this, you come to know all these things through that word proclaimed by the apostles. They may have wondered what was coming next after the Lord's ascension. And what followed was this: the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the witness born in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What followed was their obedience, carrying out the Lord's commission by proclaiming the gospel to the whole creation. That which they heard and seen, they made known. And that witness was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there were persecutions and imprisonments and exiles and martyrdoms, but there was also great success, great honor. The Lord accompanied their word with many signs and wonders. The Lord has continued to bless their word, even to this very day. The testimonies, the letters, the epistles written by these apostles, these ordinary men, have been heard and read by millions, even billions of people, in languages that weren't even spoken while the apostles were alive. These works are published in nations that didn't even exist at the time of their writing. Today there are churches all around the world, great cathedrals and little humble country churches that have the names of these men above their doors. There are generations upon generations of sons who have been named in their honor by faithful fathers and mothers. They suffered, yes, but they were also richly blessed. And yet all of that is nothing compared to the glory that is now theirs in heaven, as they praise their Lord Jesus and as they see him face to face in glory. A glory that you will share someday also. When? Again, nobody knows but the Father. It's not for you to know. It's for him to know. But that's okay. In fact, that's good. Because to be known by the Father means to be cared for by the Father. The days that are outside of your control are in the Lord's control. They're in his hands. And those are the best hands of all, because those hands were pierced by nails for you. So Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Instead, as we prayed, may we ascend in heart and mind and dwell with the Lord Jesus continually. Again, do not be anxious or worrisome about anything, for all things are guarded and kept for you by the Lord Jesus. Instead, lift up your hearts. Lift them up unto the Lord. Apostles were ordinary men. And yet the Lord Jesus called them to follow him and to be his witnesses, to testify to him. And so they did when they received power, when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they proclaimed Jesus Christ and him crucified to the ends of the earth, to the whole creation, in fact. And you have been blessed by that testimony. You've heard it, been baptized into it. You believe it. You are saved by it. What does tomorrow bring? We don't know. But we do know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in Him, we know all things needful. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.